If you have your Bibles, then open them, please, to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, our first this morning that we're going to hear from the Word of God. We live in a world which is constantly changing. We live lives which are constantly changing. However, in a world which is constantly changing, in our lives which are constantly changing, there tends to be, and we tend to pay closer attention to the significant changes that take place in our lives. We don't pay attention to all of the changes, but we tend to pay attention to those significant changes that take place in our lives. So there are certain birthdays which are bigger than others, those big birthdays. So recently I've just celebrated my 21st birthday, which was a big birthday. When I celebrated my 19th birthday, no one really cared. It was just they handed me a cake and that was it. There was no celebration for it. But this 21st birthday, it was a significant change. And we went out for dinner and had the family and the friends around. Getting married is another significant change in our life. Buying your first car or moving into your first home is a significant change. Having a baby is a massive change. A death of a loved one is another significant change in our lives. Our lives are full of change, but in the calendars of life, there are changes which have greater significance than others. And this morning, our attention is going to be in the book of Malachi. And the book of Malachi marks the last book of the Old Testament. After Malachi's ministry as a prophet of God is finished, a significant change is going to occur in the life and in the calendar of the nation of Israel. Because after the prophet Malachi has finished his ministry, God is not going to speak for 400 years. No prophet is going to arise from God to speak. It's going to become the 400-year period of silence. And this 400-year period of silence is ended when John the Baptist arrives on the scene and he prepares the way for Jesus Christ, through whom God has finally and lastly spoken to us today. God in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. But before this significant change occurs for this nation of Israel, God wants to speak to the nation through the prophet Malachi. Before this significant change occurs, God wants to speak to the nation through Malachi. In our first Malachi 3, verse 6 this morning, we notice four things that God wants us to see. God wants us to notice four things from our text this morning. Firstly, we're going to notice who it is that is speaking. Who is speaking? Look at the start of verse 6. It says this, "For I, the Lord, for I, the Lord." The one who is going to declare that their character is unchanging is the Lord. This name, the Lord, if we're familiar with this name, the Lord, through our series in Exodus, it is the covenant name of God. It is the sacred covenant name of God. It's the Hebrew name, Yahweh. The Lord is the Hebrew name, Yahweh. This covenant name of God reminds the people that God has entered into a covenantal relationship with this nation. He has declared that they will be his people and he will be their God. This name distinguishes God, the one true God, from all other gods in this world. It distinguishes the Lord from the 33 million gods in Buddhism. It distinguishes the Lord from Allah. It distinguishes the Lord from all other gods of this world. This name distinguishes the triune covenantal God from any other man-made gods among the nations and religions. At the outset of our service, we read Isaiah 46. And there God declares forth, "I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me." And this is the one who is speaking in Malachi 3, verse 6. The one who there is no other one like. If you flick back to Malachi chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, we'll read this verse. Malachi 1, verse 11 says this, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And jump down to verse 14 of chapter 1. It says this: cursed be the cheat who is a meal in his flock and fouls it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. God here, the Lord, is telling us that he desires that his name and his character will be feared among the people. God wants the other nations. God wants his own nations to realize that he is altogether different. He is like no other God. He is the Lord. He is Yahweh, who no one can compare to. And this is the one who is speaking this morning. This is the one speaking in Malachi 3, verse 6. Do you realize that the true author of the Bible, the one who is continually speaking week after week as we open the Word of God, is Yahweh, is the Lord who is like none other? Do you realize that as Christians, the one we worship is the one true God? The one we have a relationship with is the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. The one who in Isaiah 6 is described, who the angels say is holy, holy, holy. He is transcendent. He is set apart. He is the eternal one, far above his creation. The one who dwells in unapproachable light. The one who is worshipped and adored by all the angelic hosts of heaven. He is far different from all of our imaginations and all of our expectations. This is the Lord. This is the one who is speaking here in Malachi 3, verse 6. The Lord. Who is, Chris Tomlin in his song puts it like this: indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing God. That's the first thing I want us to notice this morning. The one who speaks is the Lord. The one who speaks is the one who is indescribable and uncontainable. This is the Lord. But secondly, I want us to notice this morning what the Lord says. Secondly, notice what the Lord says. Look at Malachi 3, verse 6 again. For I, the Lord, do not change. For I, the Lord, do not change. Here the Lord declares forth from this passage a truth that shows exactly that he is altogether different. He reveals that he is the unchanging God. And the Bible continually testifies to this fact. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow due to change. There James is emphasizing that the God is unchanging. Or Jesus, who shows us who God is, the exact imprint of God's nature, the one who reveals God to us. In Hebrews, he's described as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is the unchanging God. The other week, I was over the Christmas holidays, I was talking to a friend, and they were saying that their dad, in a sense, has become softer in his old age. So as he has grown older, he, in a sense, his emotions become softer. So they were saying that he deals with the grandchildren with more grace and patience than he did with them. He is less strict than the grandchildren than he was with his own children. As that father has grown older, he has softened. His emotions have changed. And some people in this world seem to think that this has happened with God. That as the years have gone on, God has softened. They make bizarre statements that say the God of the Old Testament is wrathful and the God of the New Testament is loving. And they make it out that God over time, in a sense, has changed his nature. He's changed his character. But this is far from the truth. God is the Lord who does not change. God is eternal. He is unaffected by time. He does not change. He is the unchanging God. In the Old and in the New Testament, God is presented as a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. God God between the Old and the New Testaments has not changed. He is the unchanging God. And this is why in Scripture we actually see that God is continually referred to as a rock. God is referred to as a rock. Psalm 18 says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge." Why is he described as a rock? He's described as a rock because a rock is stable. A rock is immovable and unshakable. We can fully rely on God, our rock. We can fully have confidence that he will never change. We can place all of our confidence and our dependence on him because he is the rock of ages who will never change. The world we live in and the lives we live are always and constantly changing. In this world, change is something constant, something normal, and something expected. Our age changes constantly. Our lifestyles change. Our jobs change. Our friends change. Our bodies change. Earlier on in the kids' talk, the children's facial expressions and their emotions were changing. Our situations change. One day, we could be soaring on the mountaintop, but the next day, we're in the deep valley. Our situations are constantly changing. But in this ever-changing world, God declares forth, the Lord, Yahweh, declares forth, "I do not change. I am the unchanging God. I, the Lord, do not change." So we've seen firstly then, who is speaking? The Lord. Well, secondly, notice what the Lord says. He says, "I do not change." A truth which separates and distinguishes God from all other things in this creation. But thirdly, notice from the text who the Lord is speaking to. Thirdly, notice this morning from Malachi 3, verse 6, who the Lord is speaking to. Look at the passage again. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob." Therefore you, O children of Jacob. The Lord identifies here that the children of Jacob are the people he is speaking to. He wants the children of Jacob to understand and know this truth in particular. He wants the children of Jacob to think about and meditate upon the unchanging nature of God. But the question needs to be asked, who are the children of Jacob? Who are the children of Jacob? Well, if you're familiar with the first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, a book of beginnings, there we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs. And these men are distinguished from every other human being in their generation because these men were the men who God made a covenantal relationship with. God promised to these men that he would be their God and they would be his people. He promises Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would be their God and their descendants' God. That the children who come after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will belong to the Lord. That they will have this relationship with God. God revealed himself to these three patriarchs. He revealed himself to them not because they desired him, not because they chose him, but he revealed himself to these people because God chose them. God desired for them to be in a relationship with him. If you turn back again to Malachi chapter 1, we see what this means even more. Malachi chapter 1 verse 2 says this, "I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord." And here's God says this, "Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated." You see, Jacob and his descendants, the children of Jacob, are the people who God has loved. The people God has chosen to be the recipients of his grace, his mercy, and his love. Therefore, the children of God, the people God is speaking to, are the ones who God has entered into a covenant with. The ones God has a relationship with. The one God has bestowed his steadfast love, his grace upon. The children of Jacob are the people God has chosen for himself. And today, the true children of Jacob are those who belong to Jesus Christ, Christians. So if you're a Christian, you are a child of Jacob. You have a relationship with God. You're a recipient. You have received the love and the grace and the mercy of God. And this morning, God wants all of us in this congregation to know about that He is the unchanging God. But in particular, He wants the children of Jacob, He wants you as a Christian to think about and know that He is the unchanging God. You as a Christian this morning, God desires that you think about His unchanging nature. He sees it as an important aspect for you to meditate upon. But why is it important? And this brings us fourthly to our fourth point. Why He says this? Why He says this? In the present context, as I read earlier, God is going to come and judge the nation. God's going to come and refine the people. And embedded in this refining process was the act of coming and ridding the nation from all evildoers, from those who do not fear God. So verse 5 tells us those who live lives which were rebellious to God, God's laws would be judged. The sorcerers, the adulterers, the liars, the oppressors, those who live lives which are sinful would be judged. These people were people who did not fear the Lord of hosts. With this in mind, with this context in mind, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, children of Jacob, are not consumed." God wants the children of Jacob to realize that they are not consumed in the judgment. They are not consumed in this judgment. And the reason they are not consumed is because of who God is. Because He changes not. Look at what verse 7 says, the verse after. It says this: "From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them." Here we see that the children of Jacob were like all other people. They had failed to live in total obedience to God. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the children of Jacob, the Christians, are not consumed in the judgment. They do not experience the wrath of God for their rebellious sins. Why? Because of who God is. Because He is the unchanging God. They deserve to be consumed. You as a Christian deserve to be consumed in the wrath of God because you have rebelled, you have sinned, you have fallen short. You continually wander, you continually fall away from Him, your affections are continually not for Him. But why are you not consumed? Why won't you be consumed? It's because God is unchanging. And He has said He will love you and this will be unchanging, this will stand firm. This will stand firm. He has declared that He will love you with an everlasting love. And nothing will ever separate you from His love in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will it be able to separate the Christian from the love of God in Christ Jesus, their Lord. You will not be consumed because of God's unchanging nature. And this morning, if you are a Christian, God wants you to think about this. This should be thrilling your heart with joy and thankfulness. Think about this for a moment. God does not change, therefore His love does not change. God does not change, therefore His love does not change. You're loved by God. You're accepted before Him. How can you have confidence of this? Everything around us changes. Maybe you've experienced a friendship or a relationship where, in a sense, the people promised that they loved you. They said they will love you forever, but that changed. That friendship ended. That relationship disappeared. Their love changed. But how can you have confidence and assurance that God's love will not change like everyone around you? It's because He is the unchanging God. He is not a man that He should lie. He is not a son of man that He should change His mind. We're told in Numbers. God loves you with an everlasting love, and this will not change. Romantic people buy their husband or their wife or their boyfriend or their girlfriend flowers because they love them. Or maybe it's sometimes they buy them flowers to kind of to reconcile the two parties. But unfortunately, flowers need to be replaced because they die and rot away. You need to keep topping up the flowers. You need to keep replacing the flowers. This comes from experience, actually. Let's rob the bank. You need to keep replacing the flowers because these flowers die, they rot away. And indeed, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. His word is unchanging. He declares in his word that he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting life, love. He loves you eternally. And this will never change. Think about this. Your position as a Christian this morning, your acceptance before the Creator God will never change. Not because of who you are, because you feel him constantly. But your position before Almighty God, if you are in Christ, will never change because of who he is. He is the Lord who does not change. Therefore, you can rise in the morning. You can sing that lyric in Christ alone. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Children of God, no matter what the devil whispers to you this year, no matter what the devil whispers to you in your ear over this week, no matter what your deceitful heart deceives you with, this is the truth. God loves you. God loves you, and this love will never change because he is the Lord who does not change. Think about this even more then. God does not change, therefore his faithfulness will not change. Consider this. God does not change, therefore his faithfulness will never change. In marriage vows, the couple declare exclusivity. The words come out there now. And faithfulness to each other. They declare to love one another until death separate them apart. They declare to love one another till death separate them apart. They declare to be faithful to one another. But so often in this world, marriages break up. Those vows are reversed. Because this world is saturated with faithlessness. Commitments and plans change. But this is never the case with God. His faithfulness will never change. He's never going to run out on you. He's never going to disappear. He's never going to fail you. He will keep his promises because he is the unchanging, faithful God. So when God promises in his scriptures that he is never going to leave you nor forsake you, you can have confidence that whatever life fires at you, whatever trials come at you, whatever mess ups you commit as a child of God, whatever situation you are in, you can hold on to that, that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His faithfulness is unchanging. Child of God, your Father in heaven cares for you this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God cares for you? Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you." What a wonder this is to know. God promises to help you in whatever situation you're facing. And you can have confidence that he will keep this promise because he is the unchanging God. And his faithfulness, therefore, is unchanging. So if you're suffering and going through physical or mental health illness, remember God has made that promise that he will hold you fast. He will hold your right hand and he will help you. Therefore, when you're in the folly, fear not. Trust God. Rely on him. Rely on him, the unchanging one. He is the rock who does not change. Remember when the storm, the disciples and Jesus Christ went out onto the lake and a storm came. And the disciples were worried. They were anxious. They were overwhelmed with the situation and this storm around them. And Jesus, meanwhile, while this situation was going on, Jesus was down at the bottom of the boat, at the back of the boat, and he was sleeping. And they wake him up and they say, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? They were accusing Jesus Christ of not caring for them. But he did. He cared for them. This is the same of us today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This morning, that situation that you're going to go through, or maybe you're in right now, life feels overwhelming. Problems are coming in. The stress of work, stress of school, stress of family life, marriage. You feel overwhelmed. You feel that God does not care, in a sense. Remember this. Jesus Christ, God himself, does not change. And he says he cares for you, and that will never change. His faithfulness will never change. So this morning, this should thrill each of our hearts with delight. That God does not change. He wants the children of Jacob, the true Christians, to realize and meditate upon this fact. That God, I the Lord, do not change. To meditate upon what the application of this verse is. But although it brings thrill and delight to some of us, this verse must bring some of us dread and fear. This verse must bring some of us dread and fear. The Lord declares that he does not change. And he has said in the scriptures, he's said in the Bible that one day he is going to send his son to return and judge the world of sin. He says he's going to come and rid the world of sin. And those who on that day do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, those who do not, who at the moment are rejecting Christ and living life without Christ, on that day, God says they will be eternally separated. They will be eternally cast away from God's presence. The Lord does not change. And he has said there is a day coming when all who are outside of Christ will be judged for their sins. They will experience the wrath of God. And this fact should fill a lot of us, some of us, with fear and trembling this morning. We've come to church. We've put on our best Sunday best. We're playing the part. But we're still outside of Christ. Well, God does not change. The Lord does not change. And if you do not repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, then on that day which will come, you will be cast away and rejected by Christ forever. This should fill some of us with dread and fear. So, this morning, we've looked at Malachi 3, verse 6. We've kind of seen 4 points this morning. We've noted the one who speaks, it's the Lord, Yahweh, who is altogether different from his creation. The Lord who is distinguished from all other gods. We've noticed what he says. He reveals the truth that he is the Lord who does not change. We've discovered who he says this to, who he wants to think about this. He wants the children of Jacob. He wants Christians to meditate upon this. And lastly, we've considered why God wants his people in particular to think about this. Why he wants us to think about this. Because that means we have hope and confidence that he will never change. That he will never change. He will never run out or walk away from us. So as we close, therefore, this morning, in this changing world, in our lives which are constantly changing, I encourage you to continue to think about the indescribable God. Continue to think about Malachi 3, verse 6, where God says, where the Lord says, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Let's come to God in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you have shown us from your word how altogether different that you are. That you are altogether different. That in a world which is constantly changing and our lives which are constantly changing, you say, I, the Lord, do not change. And we thank you for this truth. We thank you, Lord, for the meditation that we've been able to think about this morning upon this passage. And we pray, Lord, that you will enable us as we go from here to continue to think about this truth. And we pray, Lord, that this truth of who you are will transform how we live our lives. That we will continually be dependent upon you, the rock of ages. We will continually put our trust in you. We will rely and have our confidence in you. But we also pray, Lord, for those this morning who are outside of Christ. We pray, Lord, that they will realize that this truth is a fearful thing for them at the moment. We pray, Lord, that you will awaken them from their spiritually dead state. You will bring them to yourself. You will help them to see this morning that you are the God who does not change. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with us now. And as we come around the Lord's table, remind us of this fact that Jesus Christ has died for us. And this is a historical event. And this will never change. This can never be erased. And we thank you for this fact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.